Welcome again to a new edition of the Derek Evans Show, where we talk about the Shinsei Method and other topics relevant to you, to your business, to your work, to your family, to your life. Product knowledge, customer knowledge, company knowledge. Product value, customer value, company value. In this segment on the show, I want to talk about really the connection between training and motivation, and really some of the things that are missing from training, motivation, mentoring, particularly in America, as it compares, let's say, to Japan. Now, why Japan? Pick Japan just because I've been there many times, have a greater sense of how things are done. And I had a first-hand experience in seeing what the customer experience is in Japan and how the customer is treated and why the customer is treated with the kind of respect, dedication, and commitment that they are in Japan. And why the great difference between America and Japan, as an example. One of the reasons that there's a significant difference is because of mindset. In Japan, it's understood that there are certain strategies, tactics, practices, policies, procedures, attitudes that form the basis for profit and profitability. This is taken for granted. In Japan, it's taken for granted that the customer is the primary source of business revenue. Revenue minus costs, profit and profitability. Revenue is generated by things you sell. You sell things to customers. And that it's a simplified model, but it applies across the board. Obviously, there's different types of customers. They're not all the same. Sometimes you have, if you're a contractor, you have customers. You may service a customer, but then you also have customers that you have to provide to. And obviously, business is a complex activity. There's a lot of parts and pieces involved, people involved. One of the reasons that managers and management, particularly executive managers, are so crucial to an organization, one of the reasons that they do are paid more. Unfortunately, this fact is not taught throughout school. Usually school represents the first introduction that most people have toward training, this whole idea of training and development. And it's really not very effective. In fact, could really say it's very bad throughout school, and I know I've been through school, went through to college for many years. And unfortunately, people have that experience, particularly in America, because most of the time people assume that in order to establish a career, it's important to go to college. And this is really marketed and publicized. What is actually taught in college and whether or not there is a level of competence that's developed in college, most people don't consider, unfortunately. Now, I go into that idea of training in college just because most people, when they go through college, and particularly in the executive level, that's their first introduction to training, and so they mimic that in their training departments, unfortunately. And very few will ask, is what is being taught and the manner in which it's taught in college, is that an effective way to encourage the development of competence and this understanding that customers represent the primary source of business revenue across the board in everything we do, to develop this mindset and mentality? Is that the most effective way? Is this the most effective method and manner in college? Or are there better ways? To me, it's a rhetorical question. Obviously, from my perspective, there are much better ways than how it's done in college, because in college, most of the time what happens is the approach is, let's throw everything at them and see what sticks. And this is a helter-skelter, hodgepodge, frantic approach to everything, really, to learning, to competence, to development, etc. And unfortunately, a lot of people, particularly in executive positions, that's the approach in management positions, supervisory positions, that's the approach they take in everyday life and in their workaday life and then in their careers as well. And you see it a lot. Management is not in a way to manage a process to gain some level of control so that you can influence the results in a positive way. Obviously, you're looking for more desirable. Obviously, you're looking for more desirable results than less desirable results. Management really allows you to be able to do that. If you take that approach, obviously how you're trained, what the competence level is of your staff, what your competence level is, then becomes obviously very important. So when you're talking about training, one of the things that's different from the perspective of the Shinsei method, is the Shinsei method, when I developed this as a life principle method, I developed it as a method of training because I understood that training was every day. Everything you did was training, and training helps to instill and incorporate a mindset, and the mindset allows you to be able to instill and incorporate certain patterns, certain habits, and obviously the habits are the things that you do on a daily basis that generate the actions and the results. Because it's the results you're looking for. What kind of results are most desirable? And what can we do? How can we behave differently? How can we act differently? How can we interact, engage, let's say the customer, let's say each other, in a way that's going to generate more positive results? Now, that's all very important because what you're talking about in establishing a way of looking at things and a mindset are certain assumptions. What do we assume about what we're doing? Well, what we assume is, like I said in the beginning, revenues minus costs equals profit and profitability. One of the primary sources of business revenue are customers, because customers are the people we sell to. When we sell, we generate the revenue. And obviously, there's a cost of doing business involved with that. So customers figure very prominently in that general assumption. So the training program that we have, and this is not done in college, the training program that we have then should incorporate that assumption so that anything, any way that we train our people, any encouragement we're going to give them in terms of compensation, in terms of development, in terms of mentoring, should reflect that basic assumption. And unfortunately, in America, it generally doesn't. And if you want to evaluate it in terms of how people actually talk to customers, what they say, think about it from your personal perspective. And I do this all the time. I use my personal experience as a test case for what I'm talking about on this show and at the shinseimethod.com. Many times you talk to customer service representatives and sales representatives as well, and their attitude toward customers is sometimes nonchalant, sometimes hostile. In other words, very often all of the things you would expect people not to be, because when you're selling something, of course, you want to establish a good rapport. This applies in everyday life. This applies to everything you do. The people that you feel the most comfortable with are the people that you establish a rapport with. They're not the people that yell at you. They're not the people that are dismissive. They're not the people that leave things out, that omit important details. They're not the people that you can't trust. They're the people that you can trust. How do you trust someone? Well, you trust someone because what they say and what they do match up, and they do consistent things, regular things, over a period of time. So you can come to trust that what they're going to do is at least beneficial, or at least neutral, and hopefully beneficial. People that are not, you normally want to steer clear from. It's a good strategy, good process in general, not just in business. But unfortunately, particularly in America, because of the experiences that many executives and people in leadership positions have had in their experiences with going to college, they don't really take, they don't think about what kind of training is going to be the most effective. Let's just throw everything at them and see what sticks. So that a lot of times what happens is that people are given, let's say, a two-week course or a two-week introduction to a computer program, how to use a computer program, and then they are set loose on the phones. They don't shadow, so-called shadow someone, be mentored by someone, sit next with someone and see how they handle calls or see how they go on calls, how they interact with customers. And I'm not talking about once or twice. I'm talking about, as they do in Japan, maybe 6 months to a year before you set loose people. Now, why would you do that? Unfortunately, in America, because the situation is very different, most people and most companies are not accustomed to that kind of long-term approach. They want things done in the short term. And unfortunately, what happens is, and it creates a lot of stress, you throw people out in a, let's say, in a customer's, or you throw people out to customers and expect them to try to figure things out as they go along. And then the American model is, then all of the inconsistencies and inefficiencies and ineffectiveness that comes from that, in other words, undesirable results, that's management. That's managing change. That is dealing with change. Now, it's a very important to understand this approach, because another approach could be, we don't want to deal with that chaos. What we want to do is organize things so that the results are more desirable from the beginning. And that's the approach that generally is taken in Japan. Now, this is not to say one way is better than the other. A lot of American companies make it work. What I'm saying is, when you are establishing a way of looking at things, an orientation, a policy, a practice, a procedure, when you're establishing a training program and you're making certain assumptions, one of the assumptions should be, at least from the perspective of the Shinsei method, customers represent the one of the primary sources of business revenue. Therefore, how we treat the customers makes a big difference for how we generate profit and what kind of profit we can expect. And so that is going to be a message that is communicated across the board in every aspect of training. And how can that be communicated in training? By providing training that allows people to deal with customers, their jobs, their tasks, in a competent manner. Now, how is that done? Well, that's one of the things you have to sit down and think about. What kinds of things, how can we train people so that when they're doing their jobs, they can do it with some level of comfort? How can we ensure, particularly at an executive level where we have the authority and the power to do so, how can we ensure that various departments work together in a way that is going to establish this efficiency, this effectiveness, this best practice in the corporation, in the business, so that customers are treated in a way that demonstrates they're the primary source of business revenue. And we know that, and we respect that, and this is what we want to encourage. How can we compensate our people to encourage that? How can we develop our people over a period of time? And probably most importantly, how do we hire? What kinds of people do we hire when we're talking about establishing customers as the primary source of business revenue? Now, this is important to understand, because very often, let's say in Japan, what happens is people tend to start in around April. Generally speaking, they will graduate school, they decide where they want to go, start with a company, and usually stay with that company for the rest of their lives. Now, it's a little different, because in America, there's a lot more transients. A lot of people, they stay with a business maybe or a company for 2 or 3 years and then move on, sometimes in a completely different industry. Now, that is a very different approach. It's a very different management style. And it really leads to treating customers in a way that's very different. Why? Because you can't treat a customer with a level of competence, confidence, and skill if you've only been in a company for 2 months. And if that's the average time, 6 months, 1 year, whatever, a very short period of time, if that's the average for the people that are working in customer service, as it often is because there is high turnover, why is there high turnover? Very often I often ask myself, well, why aren't the executives doing something about that? Why aren't they looking at why there is a high turnover and doing something to encourage that turnover to stop so that there isn't such a high turnover? Usually that's not how it is. Again, understanding this approach, the difference in approach. We know there's high turnover and we'll just manage that turnover. We'll manage that chaos. We'll manage the bad customer relations that this will generate, obviously. You have people that don't have the requisite product knowledge, company knowledge, and customer knowledge. They're not going to be able to communicate and interact with customers in the same way as people who have that deep, competent, highly superior customer knowledge, product knowledge, company knowledge. Now, in order to generate and in order to establish policies, practices, and procedures that show customers are a primary source of business revenue, profit and profitability are important, efficiency, effectiveness are important, competence is important, requires that you value those concepts. In other words, company value, product value, customer value. Once you value the customer, once you value the company, once you value the product, and understand that these are important, you're suddenly going to interact with customers in a very different way. There is a desire to excel. One of the mathematical equations that I developed is desire to excel plus training equals superior performance. Well, this is how you do it. This is how you establish a mentality by valuing the company, valuing the customer, valuing the product. I can't tell you how many times I've interacted with people, customer service representatives, sales representatives, who don't seem to value their product that they sell. Now, why is that? Why is the company hiring people that don't value their product or don't know about their product? If you don't know about the product, you can't possibly value it. And here they are talking about it. Here they are providing advice to customers on how to use their products. They work in customer service, after all. Another thing that I developed when I used to work in the workaday world, when I was in business and working for companies, I had to, at my own expense and time, with my own printer, because usually this is not an approach that's taken, I printed up a sign that I kept by my cubicle that says, customer service equals sales. Sales equals customer service. To me, they're synonymous. Unfortunately, particularly in America, this is, again, the differences in approach between America and Japan. In America, there is a distinction, a demarcation between sales and customer service. Usually sales, and you can tell by the way the resources are generated and devoted to sales. And the salespeople are hired is very different. They're focusing on competence, as they should. Customer service, usually where they're housed, where they go, how they're paid, who they hire, is all very different, and unfortunately, usually much lower. But this really, if that's the case, this does not indicate that the business thinks that profit and profitability are important, revenue are important, because if you are interacting with a customer and you're a customer service representative and you're not taking the approach that you're selling, if you're not selling directly, you're selling indirectly. You're selling the company, you're selling the brand, you're selling the service, you're selling the superiority of all of those things, hopefully. And if you're taking a nonchalant, dismissive attitude, you're not selling any of them. So this is important to understand, because this approach that I'm advocating on this show and at the shinseimethod.com comes back to really the quality of people. And the quality of people is number one, first determined when you hire people, so hiring then becomes very important, but also how you train and develop them. And mentoring is an important aspect of that training and development. In America, It many companies don't spend much time in that. They don't spend much time in training, even in sales. If you get a month training, you're lucky. Most of the time, it's a week or two, if that. And usually, that's just to how to work the computer system. Not interacting with people, that is very rarely encouraged. I remember I had a sales position with a television company, a broadcast, national broadcast, name is not important. And I had a sales job, and one of the ways that the sales manager, he was a manager, one of the ways that he had to train is he walked into my office one day, brought me a big stack of binders, and just said, go over those files. That was training. What to do, how to do it, what I'm looking for, what they represent, how to match up those customers with the services we have, which customers would be the most appropriate for particular types of services, how to determine that. All of those important things that go into a conversation, let's say, with a customer was never even gone over. Now, in America, people assume that you do all of that because they have this experience in college. You're supposed to figure all of that out. Well, guess what? Of course you don't do that. Because, you know, unless you are a very unique person, and a very unique person is not usually going to take a job where that is the kind of treatment. So it's like you're shooting yourself in the foot, cutting your nose off to spite your face. You're not going to have the types of people who have a desire to excel if that's the way you treat them. So, you know, there has to be a symbiotic or symbiosis going on. There has to be a synergy. Businesses, many businesses and leaders and business training programs, they always like to talk about synergies. Well, this is synergy. Synergy is just, it just means a symmetry in how things operate, a regularity, a circularity, a system. And that has to do with mindset, that has to do with training, and that has to do with value. What do you value? What does the company value? If you value the company, if you value the product, if you value the customer, that's going to generate certain policies, practices, and procedures, and it will be obvious. If you don't, that's going to generate a whole different set of policies, practices, and procedures, like throwing a bunch of binders on someone's desk and saying, go on over those files. That demonstrates we don't value the product. We don't value the company. Because if you value it, you treat those binders and you treat those customers and you treat that whole process with the due respect that it deserves. It's important to understand that when you are looking to establish a certain goal, a certain result, a certain profitability, you have to think about what you value. And one of the most important things to value, of course, are the people. And the people represent the company. So that's company value. And people are also representative of, or customers are representative of people, vice versa. Customers are also people. So it's the people that you value. If you value the customer, if you value the company, all of these will flow. It stands to reason. And one of the most important ways to do that is to train. Now, I started off by saying the differences between America and Japan, because in Japan, like as I said, people typically start in April. They work for the company, and very often it's not unusual to have training and mentoring with the person that is doing the job that you are going to be doing, preferably the supervisor of that department, who has also gone through this training and is also very knowledgeable about what you'll have to do for 1 year or longer. Many executives and many Japanese multinational companies will work in various regions and various departments within regions over a long period of time before they even think about putting them in the top level positions in the company. So it's not unusual, for example, for a senior executive in a Japanese company, a multinational company, to have worked in all the major markets Europe, America, the Asia, these various markets, and then worked in various departments within those markets as well as the local or domestic market. Typically, in America, that doesn't happen. People, the senior executives, will work in different companies. They may have executive level positions, but they don't typically work up the ranks. It happens. And some of the most effective managers, let's say Sam Walton, does those kinds of things. But very often, that's not what happens. So it's a very different approach. And it's important to understand that, because ultimately, you have to determine as an executive, as a leader, if you are training people, what kind of values are you going to promote from within and from without? If customers represent a primary value, then it should be reflective in your policies, practices, procedures, your training, your hiring, your everything. If not, well, then it doesn't really matter. Then you take the hodgepodge approach and you just deal with whatever comes out of that, which is actually the more normal. Now, in order to take this approach, slightly different approach, or much different approach, that's where we come back to what I often call the three pillars of individuality, well-being, and profitability, inner strength, and about self-trust. Because ultimately, this is a very, what I'm suggesting is an unconventional, particularly in America, an unconventional approach. And to establish this approach, you may have a fair amount of resistance. People are not usually going to support that. And in order to stay the course, you need that requisite level of self-trust, inner balance, inner strength. In other words, to realize that this makes sense, and we're going to do this because this makes sense. Treating customers with a high degree of priority, and demonstrating that in our policies, practices, and procedures, how we train people, how we interact with people, how we interact with customers. In other words, a customer doesn't have to write a letter to the president, which I often do, write a letter to the president to get a proper treatment of a company. They're just going to get proper treatment because they're calling our company. And that's the way we do things. So you have to make that determination for yourself. Until the next time on the Derek Evans Show, where we talk about the Shinsei Method and other topics relevant to you, to your business, to your work, to your family, to your life.